Well, good morning and welcome. I am Keith Anderson. I am pastor of New Harvest Christian Fellowship. If this is the first time that you have tuned in to one of our broadcasts, we welcome you. I know last week we had quite a few people that was their first time, and we pray that you were blessed. To our church family, I was excited to see all the different people that had tuned in, and I loved all the comments. And I pray today that it will be the same format, and that you guys will be blessed, and that y'all will make the comments as we go through the message. Today's message is a little bit different than normal. It's a message that I pray that will put us face to face with where we are today. The coronavirus is truly a disruption to our daily lives. It's serious. And the question that I want to ask is the question that is on the screen. What will we do when we're released? There's so many things on Facebook and social media that are making comments how people feel that they're imprisoned or that they're being, contained. And there's a lot of things going on today. But one of the things that I want us to understand is, what are we going to do when this is all over? What are you going to do when you're released, when you can go back into society? Where does church fit into that picture? We're going to read about Paul and Silas. It paints a pretty awesome picture of today's society, and it's going to begin in Acts chapter 16. So if you would get your Bibles, or you can read on the screen, but Acts 16 and verse 16. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her master much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bond servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs, which is it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." Crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke, saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword. He was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, and he said, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights, and he rushed in. And the scripture says, "And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he asked a most important question, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" The first point of this message is this, that church is not a social gathering. Church is not a country club. It says it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer. It's important for us as we go through this virus, this struggle that is attacking our country, our nation, that we understand that we are the church. And, you know, people look at the church as the building, but we are the church. But a church is not a social gathering. It's not a social club. It's a place where we go and where we worship God and where we get filled back up so God can send us back out. It appears today more than ever that people don't understand their role, that people don't understand their importance. And if you are a born-again believer, then you have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you have been saved by God's grace, then you're a part of the body. You might be a hand, you might be a foot, you might be eyes, ears, mouth. I don't know what part of the body you are. But everybody that is a born-again believer is important to the body, and you are important to the church. And it is imperative that we begin to see our importance. We are children of the Most High God. We are bondservants of our Lord. And we need to make church the priority in our life. In the book of Hebrews, it said, "Now let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." If we come to church, and currently since we're absent from church, but if you see posts, if you see things on social media that people are struggling, then what you need to do is to call them. You're the church, and you're ministering to the church. Pastors' jobs are to equip the laity to do the work of the ministry, and you are the ones that are supposed to do the ministry. But when we meet again and someone doesn't show up, then don't just go, "I wonder where they are." Call them, minister to them, reach out to them, invite them to come back to church. Tell them I'll sit with you on Sunday and we'll go to eat after church. And then you can spend time ministering and even praying with them and hopefully meeting their need. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says, "When you enter the land which the Lord gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of the nation." The church today, for whatever reason, is more concerned about making sure we're politically correct. When I drive to church on Sunday mornings, I see boats and trailers and golf carts. I see people running. I see people playing all different kinds of sports. But you see, if we understood the importance of church, if we understood why we are going to church, that we are going to communicate with God, we worship God, and we need God, then I would hope we would begin to see the importance that we need to be there on Sunday morning. But what we can't do is begin to imitate the world. The world is drawing the church, out of the building. They're doing it by playing sports on Sunday. They're doing it by having marathons and all these different things on Sunday. And the church is imitating the world, where what the world needs to do is begin to imitate the church. But the church gives the world very little to imitate. So it is important for us, again, not to imitate the detestable things of the nation, because the Lord despises it. We have to be very careful, church, where we walk. And Ephesians says, "Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise men, making the most of your time, because it says the days are evil." The virus that is currently in our nation today, in the world, is evil. It came from evil. It is the personification of evil. But what we have to do is be careful how we walk. We can't walk like the world because we're not of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. So it is important. God says, "I will light your path." There's other passages in Scripture where he says, "Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. You keep your eyes focused and stay straight ahead." So we need to be very careful, church, how we walk and we cannot walk as an unwise individual. The second point of this message is that I don't think that we truly understand the kind of war that we're in. Every day that we get up, we're walking, working, living in a spiritual war. When you get up in the morning and you put your feet on the floor, you're in a spiritual war. All day long, as you go to work, as you drive, as you shop, as you sit down at wherever it might be, till the place that you go to bed and put your head on the pillow, you're still in a spiritual war. And even when we sleep, Satan is doing everything that he could do to put us down. See, we get tired because we try to fight the struggles that we fight in a natural way. But you can't fight a spiritual war in the natural way. The Bible says our fight is not with flesh and blood. The Bible says that our fight is with evil. Therefore, we have to make this a spiritual war. In verse 16, it says that a slave girl having a spirit of divination met them. The world is full of evil today. The world is full of evil spirits that seek to destroy. The Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to understand that this evil spirit is real, and we need to fight it again in a supernatural, spiritual way. 2 Chronicles 16, 8 and 9 says that the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. See, God is looking for us to give him not 96, not 97, but 100%. And God is looking for individuals who are not playing this, quote, Christianity game. Years ago, if someone said that they were a Christian, that meant something. Today, if people say they're Christians, it doesn't mean a whole lot, because people can talk the talk, but a lot of people are not walking the walk. And at the end of this passage, he said, you have acted foolishly in this. So we need to get very serious. The Bible says that our Lord doesn't want us lukewarm. He wants the world to see if we're hot or if we're cold. He wants to see if we're Christians or if we're not Christians. And the problem today is that the world looks at Christianity and says, y'all are no different than us, so why do I want what you have? If we look at our nation today, our nation is fractured. The whole political system is fractured. Our healthcare system is fractured. If we look at those who we have elected to be our servants, you can look at them today and the whole system is unethical. There is corruption and immorality. There is compromise that goes on daily. The people that we elect are more concerned about being politically correct than being biblically correct. There is an assault against biblical marriages with one man and one woman. There is prayer was taken out of school. In my generation, we have allowed the Ten Commandments to be taken off of walls. There is ungodliness that is just prevalent in all of our leadership today and in the world. And abortion is absolutely out of control. And if you look at our political system today, there is so much hatred and there is so much strife that it's absolutely a travesty, because they're not really caring about us. They're more concerned about their political agendas. And even when you look at the debates today that are going on TV, and if you look behind those that are debating, the American flag is gone. And I'm here today being able to preach to you because there were men and women who fought and died to keep this country free. But yet we are in a political system today that will not put up the American flag in an effort not to offend. In Isaiah 59, it says, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street and uprighteous cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil will make himself a prey. Now the Lord saw it, and it was displeasing in his sight, and there was no justice. Church, we've got to get back to the place where we are focusing on the Lord, because we're living in a society today where evil is running rampant, and we have become the prey. The second point, or third point in this message is that our church, church proper, Christianity, I think lives by the definition of insanity. The definition of insanity is if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, and if you expect a change, then that's insane. And if the church, the people, don't get back to the building and worship together, if the church does not make God a priority, if the church doesn't do what God has called us to do, then candidly, it's an insane situation to be in. In Acts 17, it says, following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. It's what the church ought to be doing. We ought to be going out and proclaiming to the world how people can meet their Lord and their Savior. In verse 17, it says, but Paul got greatly annoyed. See, the church isn't annoyed today. The church is complacent. We look at the political system and we're going, oh, it's okay. Well, it's not okay. And you and I need to get annoyed at where we are. So Paul gets annoyed. He turns to the evil spirit and he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out. And it came out at that very moment. What you'll see with Paul is that Paul had spiritual tools. Paul knew where he was at. Paul went to the place to pray. God called him. God put him in a position and to cast out a spirit, which he cast out. Paul had the spiritual tools and he used them. And if you're a born-again believer, you have spiritual tools, but we need to use the tools, or candidly, those tools are useless. In Acts 1, 7 and 8, it says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs. The word epoch means notable event. This coronavirus caught us by surprise, but I promise you, it didn't get God by surprise at all. But it says, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you so that you could be a witness. And it says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. What we need to understand, in the original language, the word power doesn't mean strength. It means miraculous power. And God has given you and me a miraculous power to fight the evil that is in this world. And why does he want us to do that? Because he wants us to be a witness. He wants us to be a witness in our neighborhood. He wants us to be a witness in our city. He wants us to be a witness in our county, our state. He wants us to be a witness in our country and to the world. People need to see that the power of God is still real. Because if people could see that we worship a real God, I promise you that this world could change. Now, another point of this message is that the government is not the answer. Now, I am grateful and I'm gracious that we have a healthcare system that is taking care of those that are ill. It's a nasty virus and a lot of people have died. And our first responders, our police and our EMS and the hospital people, they're putting their life at stake for you and me, and we need to keep them in prayer. But church, I got to tell you that the government is not the answer. Will they find a cure? I'm positive. Will they, and they already have, found something that will slow it down? I believe that came from God himself. But what's important in the midst of this is that the government is not our answer. God is the answer to this spiritual problem. In Acts 16, 19, it says, but when her master saw that their hope or profit was gone, that they seized Paul and Silas. You can look at the healthcare system. You can look at all of the items that we're missing. You can look at all of the servant leaders that we have elected. There is a personal agenda that is going on today. And what's important is that so many people are putting their faith and trust in the government. But what we need to do is get down on our knees, and we need to put our faith and trust in God who created us. And if God created us, then God's going to take care of us. Psalms 91 says, those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High can abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's where you and I honestly need to stand. It also says in verse 19, and that they're proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept. Now, they're thinking that Paul and Silas are Jews, but actually they're Romans. The crowd rose up against them. They had them beaten. They were chained and they were thrown in jail. And what's important to understand, the Bible says in the inner jail, that's the nastiest, dirtiest, rotten, stinkingest place to be. And that's where Paul and Silas was. And they chained their feet to the stocks. Now, 2 Timothy paints the picture of our society today, and I think the disgust of our Lord today also. And the Bible passage says, but realize this, that in the last days, and I believe that we're in the last days. Does that mean that's 1,000 days or 1,000 years? I don't know. I just want to be working when God comes back, and I want to hear the words, Keith, you did a great job. Come on home. But it says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. We are in difficult times. We're in a virus that is seeking to destroy our country, our cities, our states, our world. It's difficult. But it says, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that takes us back to the very beginning of the message, is that anytime we place anything over church and worshiping together, then that has become an idol to us. And I believe that God again is looking for the church to go, I am God, I'm a jealous God, and if you put this, whatever this pleasure might be over me, then that has become the idol, and God is not going to bless us for doing that. Now I know that it's a necessity to pull away. I know that there are times even Jesus did it. He was tired, he was wore out, and he just pulled away. And we all have that time, and we all need to use that time. Because if we just get so stressed out and we're tired, then we're really no good to anybody and truly ourselves. But it says, holding to a form of godliness. And that's where we are today, although they have denied its power. And then it says, avoid such men as these. We need to avoid these type of people. And how does the church get involved? Well, honestly, we as a voice have the right who we have in leadership to lead us in our government. And we need to begin to take it serious, because if we don't, you and I are going to be in trouble. We need to take it so serious that when we go to the polls and we vote, that we don't vote on emotions, we don't vote on what we might get or might not get, but what we vote is what person is living by the biblical precepts of our Lord, so that we can get back to being one nation under God. The most important piece of this message is the power of prayer and praise. In Acts 16 and 25, it says, but about midnight, at the darkest time of Paul's life, I mean, it is the darkest place that they could be, and plus it's even darker because they are in the inner portion of this prison, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were doing what they knew that they could do. And in the midst of the storm that we're in this midst of self-confinement, we can't do a whole lot. But what we can do is what is most important, and that is to pray and to praise God. And it says, and the prisoners were listening. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison's house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. It continues, when the jailer awoke and he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword. He was about to kill himself, supporting the prisoners, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out. He says, no, don't harm yourself. And the prison guard called for a light. He ran into the prison, and he saw Paul and Silas still there, and he was trembling. And I'm sure that he saw all the chains and the doors had been opened, and he fell before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out. And he asked the most important question in his life. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? In Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, tells us where we are today. And the next point of the message is that the world is watching. You know, it says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I don't think anybody wanted the virus, but it's a race that has been set before us. What is so important in the midst of this, Paul and Silas did what they knew that they needed to do, and that was pray to the one who could release them. They sang praises even in the midst of the storm because they were praising God. And sometimes it is important for us, when fear strikes, that we pray and praise. When anxiety rises up within us, we pray and we praise, because it takes the focus off of ourselves and it puts the focus on the one who can truly help us get through and to the other side. But to do this, what is so important, church, is that there are people that are looking. I promise you that the world is looking at the Christian community today, going, how are you guys going to handle this? And, you know, we might say, yes, I'm scared, or yes, I'm fearful, but I'm praying, and they don't understand. And you might tell them, just turn on praise music. They might not understand, but I promise you that if they begin the process, there's a change that's going to take over in their life. But again, for us to do this, we have to lay aside everything that would be an encumbrance, every sin in our life that would attempt to entangle us, and we just need to run the race that is set before us. Now, the other piece of this that is so important, it says fixing our eyes on Jesus. If you put your eyes on fear, you're going to fall to fear. If you put your eyes on worry, or if you put your eyes on the government, whatever it might be, that's not the place. You and I, more than ever right now, need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You know, in the Old Testament days, when Passover came, Jesus also confined his people. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to strike down. There was death in the air, but he said, I want you to go out. I want you to get a sacrifice, and I want you to put blood over the doorpost of the house. But I want you guys to stay inside. And if you stay inside, you're going to be okay. Well, church, the government is asking us to do that today. But I also believe that you and I are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. And in the book of Isaiah, it says, by the very stripes of Jesus Christ, you and I have been healed. So it is the blood of Christ that is so important in our life. But it also says, despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of God. In church, anytime someone sits down, it means they're complete. God has done everything that God promised that he would do. Jesus Christ did everything that his Father asked him to do, and the Holy Spirit is here, and he's doing everything that Jesus told him to do. I believe now that God and Christ and the Holy Spirit is looking at the church. I believe they said, guys, we've done our part, now it's up to you. So it is important for us to understand our role, and I want to close with this. What are you going to do, church, when all this is said and done? Are we going to make church a priority again? Are we going to live by the pleasures of men? Are we going to imitate the world? Are we going to go back to what our first love was and not imitate, but become the Christian people that God wants us to do? Now, I believe that we imitate all the qualities of Christ, but in no way can we imitate the qualities of the world. First of all, you have to understand that church is not a social club. You have to understand that it's not a country club. This has been a place that has been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. It's a special place. It's a place where lives are changed. It's a place where people will meet the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a place where you bring the lost, the sick, the hurting. It's a place where Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit and our Lord reign in this building. Second, you have to understand that you're in a spiritual war, and you cannot fight this coronavirus in a natural way. Now again, I know that the doctors and the nurses are there, and if pills are given, then we take the pills, but it's a spiritual battle, and I believe if the church corporately would get together, then we, in a spiritual way, through the supernatural power that God has granted to us and the authority that he's given us over evil, we could put this down. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if God's people would humble themselves and pray and seek his face, he would forgive our sins, hear from heaven, and heal our land. Church, we have got to begin to see the seriousness, and we have to begin to see our role and understand that this is a spiritual war. The other thing that's important is you got to understand your worth. You're a child of the Most High God. You're a servant of the Lord, and you're a part of the body of Christ. If you're not in church, then the whole body suffers. So I pray that you will begin to take your role serious and that you will make church a priority in your life. The next point is that the government is not the answer. Our God is the answer. Our God has control over everything. He has put people in place. No doubt when our government and our country is peaceful, it is good for us. Therefore, we need to make sure we elect people that are biblical and they live by the precepts of God, but we cannot put our faith in the government. We need to put our faith and trust in God. The other is the power of prayer and praise. If you're going through some tough times throughout this coronavirus, if you know people, if you're scared, if you're worried, then begin to pray. If you need more help, you call this church, you call me, and I will pray with you. We have the website. There's a place that you can request prayer. I promise you that we'll get back to you. But also, when you really get nervous, when fear begins to rise, put on praise music and praise God, because I'm telling you, he likes people to praise him. The Bible says, let everybody have breath, praise the Lord, and prayer and praise can take you places that you never knew that you could go. And the last is to understand that the world is watching. I promise you that the world is looking at the Christian church today, and they're going, how are you guys going to handle it? And our only response is, we're going to pray, and we're going to praise God. Church, I love you so much. The people that are watching this broadcast today, you know, I want to end with this. If you're scared and if you're fearful, then the best place to go is to the Lord. And if you do not know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, then the Bible says, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. If you have prayed that prayer, if you confess today that Christ is your Lord, then go to our website. Tell us what you've done, and we'll call you back. Church, we love you. I can't wait till we get together and we can meet again. But God bless you. You have hope. You have faith. For one reason, you've got Jesus Christ. We'll see you next Sunday, and God bless.